matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that'll make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Moving On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard only on the left-hand edge of the dial and only on KBOO.
Every Friday, noon to 1:30.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest.
Join us on Tuesday, January 21st for Hindsight 2020, debriefing the last 3 years. A day of special programming looking back at the Trump regime, what happened, why, and the repercussions domestically and internationally. We'll focus on national policy, foreign policy, privacy and surveillance, policing, immigration, labor rights, confronting white nationalism, the environment, and much more. Again, that's Hindsight 2020, debriefing the last 3 years on Tuesday, January 21st from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. here on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
Like the man said, this is KBOO Portland. And like the woman said, it's 11 a.m. and it's time for Pacific Underground coming up now.
Welcome to Pacific Underground. I am your host, Tabitha, and I know some people might be sick of the Jenna and Tabby duo, but I'm not. And
how could they be sick of it? We're the highlight of their Fridays at 11.
I like to think so. And I am, of course, joined by Jenna.
Hello, it's Asian Femme Time number 4.
4? I thought it was 3.0.
I don't know, because I feel like... Well, we'll get into it, because the last time we were on air, I think we called that Asian Femme Time 3, and we were talking about the protests, all that stuff.
Yeah, it was a drive show.
So we're back. We're back.
Woohoo! Happy New Year, Jenna.
Yeah, I've been saying happy decade. Happy
That's
new
true.
Decade.
It is now the roaring 20s. Whip out your flapper dresses and do the Charleston.
Okay, wait, so you're not... okay, I'm not alone in hoping that the Roaring Twenties come back in 2020. Like, I just want all the young folks out there just to be like, oh my God, we need to bring them 20s back.
I think so.
But you know what, though? When I think about that, there's a lot of things from the 20s I don't want to bring back. It wasn't necessarily always a great time to, like, be an Asian person in this country.
That's true.
So we could avoid that. But what I would like to bring back are the bell hats. I love
I would
those.
Love to bring back the clothes. And
was that
the
called
dancing.
A cloche? That was called the cloche hat.
Cloche and then
the,
hats.
Yeah, and then the flapper.
Yeah, flapper dresses.
Yeah, the Charleston is one of the few dances I can do. Like that and the running man. I'm not very good at dancing, but I can do those too.
I know how to swing dance, and I need an excuse to just start breaking out random swing dances, so we need to bring back jazz music. And
I know, did jazz music ever go away? It hasn't gone away. It's still popular.
It's still popular, yeah. It's so fun. There are so many radio stations dedicated just playing jazz music. So.
Okay, before we get on to all the nitty gritty. So, Tabitha, we have, as Pacific Underground, have been off the air kind of for the last 3 months with the whole on-air protest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We did one episode in early December where we talked about what the protest was
addressing
about.
Addressing the protest.
Then we did one more week of the protest, and now we're back. The on-air protest is done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
do you think... I bet people are, if they're like wondering, like, well, why is the protest done? Does that mean that our demands were met, or the point of the protest, like, do we think it was successful? What's your opinion?
the protest is not done, because the work is never done.
So true.
We did get the board's attention. They have resolved to address the list of demands from the POC caucus. And
that's KBOO's internal POC, mm-hmm. like affinity group mm-hmm. for volunteers.
And I believe them that they're genuine in wanting to implement some of the recommendations and have some change around here. So,
and I've seen change actually since that protest started.
Cool.
You know, and maybe this is me tooting my own horns, but right now I'm the interim station co-manager, mm-hmm. such a long title, but
yeah.
It's me and Celeste Carey, who people know from More Talk Radio, that's on mm-hmm. Monday mornings. And so right now, KBOO is being led by two women of color.
Woo-hoo!
And that is for the first time in KBOO's history. And then on top of it, KBOO's president and vice president right now are also women of color. So this is quite like
Woo-hoo!
A historic time in KBOO, you know, because I think that's, I don't want to say, you know, their goal in life was to bring in women of color, but, mm-hmm. you know, it was to try to actually bring diversity into positions that are of leadership. And so I'm really proud of KBOO for that, where it's like,
yeah,
wow, mm-hmm. you guys actually do like want to create real equity and inclusivity. And so, you know, as like someone who's part of that team, you know, I'm hoping that we can kind of like help people or the institution make change, but mm-hmm. you know how change works. It's slow on an institutional level.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, as the person who has to like work with all these groups, I'm very proud to see how supportive mm-hmm. people are in these changes. And even though they're difficult, you know, to just make like subtle changes about like, how do we raise money? Who do we talk to when we raise money? And mm-hmm. what are the values that we have? And, you know, we're a 50-year-old institution, which means our values should constantly be changing and growing, you know, mm-hmm. along with
yeah.
the group of people that are involved in the station. And so we've had actually some really difficult discussions. And so I think for maybe like volunteers like yourself, it's hard to see change right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that the systemic type of changes we're making will eventually like have fruition. And yeah, that's what's going on with the on-air protest and whatnot. So mm-hmm. I guess like you were protesting me for a bit, so.
Yeah, so I was protesting, well, not you specifically, but I guess the institution.
Yeah.
But you are head of the institution right now, so.
But I appreciate it. I appreciate people who hold us accountable and say, like, you know, where they think, like, you know, we're failing, because mm-hmm. if we get too complacent, it's easy, you know, because
mm-hmm. yeah.
the work is hard.
Yes,
and
yes.
you need to stay motivated, like, by others, like, staying vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you. Thank you for protesting us. I really hope that I can fulfill, you know, the desires of the POC community. I can't do it in a month, but I will try.
Okay. Well, thank you. But that is kind of a good segue into like, I guess, me and like the little 3-month break that I kind of sort of had, and that the collective has had. And we've all come to the conclusion we're all very tired.
The whole Pacific Underground Collective is tired. It's
true.
You're
tired. So we are currently and actively recruiting people to join the collective. Because I'll admit, though this has been a wonderful experience and I've had a really great time, I think I am ready to move on and do some other things. Surround myself with chihuahuas.
You're leaving us?
I'm sorry.
But you know what I'm realizing right now? That mm-hmm. this is actually an anniversary show for us.
It is.
Because Pacific Underground premiered in that first week of January of 2016.
Ah!
So this is our 4th anniversary.
What?
And you and I have at least both... I was on that first episode, but I didn't become
a
collective
member
until February. So actually, we've both been doing this for 4 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is why we feel so tired. Yeah, we're the remaining original collective members.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we've seen many people come through, and it's you and I who made it to year four. Go us! But it is a lot to do for 4 years. Mm-hmm. This is volunteering that we do.
Yeah.
And but it's been kind of awesome. We should kind of like reflect on the last 4 years.
Yeah.
But why we bring it up is because we don't want Pacific Underground to go away.
Yeah, that's why I'm mentioning that we're actively recruiting, because I don't want the show to go away, and I'm going to be sticking around, and some of the other collective members will be sticking around.
Meaning you and me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Matt.
Well, Sarah.
Matt
and Sarah. Yeah. We'll be sticking around to help mentor and shepherd people that they can do this someday. So if you API identify and would love to join the show, there are so many ways of getting in touch. You can DM us on Instagram. There is the pacificunderground@kabu.fm email address. You can come to KABU. You can email Habiteus, the new public affairs director.
Her email address is publicaffairs, all one word, publicaffairs@kboo.org. Yeah, we're on the Facebooks. And so, like, when you are looking for us, we're at PAC Underground. So you'll be able to find us there. Because if you look up Pacific Underground, it's like this. Sometimes it brings up these, like, construction companies.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of fighting for that label. But, yeah, so there's lots of different ways. We'll keep dropping the hints throughout the show of, hey, don't you want to join Pacific Underground? Doesn't this sound fun? Mm-hmm. But so, like, just to give people some understanding of who can get involved. Like, so 4 years ago, when we both started, you and I had zero radio experience. Yeah, and our first few episodes were just like learning how to like speak into a microphone and wear headphones and like not interrupt. You're like the very, very basics. Like, I bet if we went back to like the first few episodes, it would be so cringy.
I know.
Fun to hear us. Like,
oh my god. There's a part of me that kind of wants to re-air the very first episode I was ever on, just to like, oh gosh, how have I changed?
But I think it'd be also kind of awesome to learn, because like that's the point of community radio, is like it's to not be great. You don't have to be NPR great yet, you know, and you don't even need to get there. It's it's about sharing your community, sharing like your personal experience, and also learning how to radio at the same time, because it's a lot of fun. I really have enjoyed learning how to radio.
Yeah, and I'm also happy that I have this awesome new skill of being able to edit audio, and
you can make all the podcasts in the world.
Woohoo! I can start editing a bunch of chihuahuas just yipping.
Yeah, and you know what? I bet other chihuahuas would like that podcast.
Yes, podcast for the chihuahuas. My life goal is achieved.
Yeah, and so it's just outside of chihuahua podcasting. Yes. Yeah,
this awesome new skill.
Yeah.
And I would love to foster and mentor API folks that want to continue doing this show. And
yeah, help like continue that legacy. Because, you know, Pacific Underground, like it went on the air in January of 2016. But in December of 2015, the last episode of APA Compass on KABU had aired. Mm-hmm. And that had aired for 10 years before that. So for the last 14 years, there has just been this consistent, radio programming for the API community here. And even though both of us are very tired and ready to find new members to help head the collective, you know, we're here today just because we think it's so important that API voices stay on the air and that the community feels recognized. Mm-hmm. And because it's always really interesting, like, often we joke, like, who's listening to us?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to know who's listening to you on the radio. It's not like you see, like, a view count or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time we talk to people from the API community here, they all know our show. We're like, whoa, you listen to us?
I know.
Oh, that's cool.
It's always funny when, like, I'm talking to someone, it's like, your voice sounds really familiar.
I know. And that's why I'm just like, oh no, do you think I'm smart? Or are you just like, oh my god, you need to stop talking?
I know. It's like, where do you know my voice from?
So if you are API identifying and you're interested in doing some radio, doing some podcasting, you know, PAC Underground on the Instagram, on the Facebook, or pacificunderground@kbu.fm, just email us, or you can even contact the public affairs director, publicaffairs@kbu.org. Let them know that you're interested in joining. And yeah, because we want to teach you how to radio. We want to, like, you know, literally put the mic in your hand and show you how to amplify your own messaging about, you know, your experience as an API in Portland.
So yep.
There you go. Talk about being an API in Portland. Tabitha.
Yes.
What have you been up to recently? And I wanted, and I'm, we got to do what we normally do. We got to nerd out on the things. What are the Asian-y nerdy things that you've been up to? And I know the answer to this, but I just want to talk about, I'm just going to give a hint of what I'm trying to get at, VR. What have you been up to, Tabitha?
So I got a VR headset. I'm so excited because I've literally been waiting for consumer level VR technology since I was a child. And now it's here. And it's affordable enough that I can afford one, so I bought one for my PS4, and it is fulfilling all of my childhood hopes and dreams.
What did you do the other day?
Okay.
What was the nerdiest thing that you've ever done? Oh, because it happened the other day.
Yes. Listeners may know I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I mean, that's how Jen and I bonded.
The Trek is so good.
So live long and prosper. I have some other friends.
That VR helmet with her friends.
With my friends who are also big Star Trek fans.
And also have VR helmets.
Yes, and we all got together to play Star Trek Bridge Crew.
So basically, if you don't know what this game is, you get to pretend you're on the bridge.
Yes, it's a first-person perspective game.
Of being on the Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the three of them stood around.
In a room.
And somebody was like an ensign, someone was like a captain, yeah. And someone was like a lieutenant.
Yeah.
And you guys were on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Of the Enterprise, and we were shooting at Romulans, and we were rescuing science stations that were under attack.
I have a question. Is it stressful when the red alert goes off?
A little bit. The red alert didn't really go off, but like things are exploding around you, and it's like, oh my god, what's broken? And I found the easiest position to be the helmsman because all you have to do is steer the ship. I can do that.
You don't have to do the pew pew pew.
No, you don't have to be the pew pew pew.
Oh, time out, pew pew, because that's actually, you know, the nerds who are listening are like, Star Trek does not go pew 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 pew. Star Wars, that's pew pew. So we saw Star Wars.
Yes, Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, we saw the Rise of Skywalker.
I had problems.
We could get into the nerdiness and like all the subtlety of it, but let's talk about the Asian time or the lack thereof.
I know. Poor Kelly Marie Tran.
She was in it. Okay, if you haven't seen Star Wars yet and you don't want spoilers, you need to, you know, turn down the volume right now for like the next few minutes because we're going to get into it just for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 1 second. Okay, that was the second. Here we go. Spoilers.
So I feel, oh, she was done dirty so wrong. Poor Rose.
It was like
an extended cameo. She had nothing to do.
All she said was like, I'll go check the blueprints. Like,
I know. And you were like such an interesting character in The Last Jedi. And then, why this? What's happening? What's going on?
Well, okay, so in The Last Jedi, at the very end, right, like, Finn and Rose like have a moment and she's like, I love you, basically.
Yeah.
And then so we were kind of hoping that in this next movie that you would see
pick up on it or
something.
Yeah.
But it was like they didn't acknowledge each other at all. They just like let that part of the plot just fall through the cracks, as many things did, because they were so busy trying to get in every character from Star Wars under the sun into one movie.
Yeah.
I won't even get into it. But yeah, I was really hoping that she was going to have some sort of role. I mean, I was happy to see that she was there at least and she hadn't been cut. Mm-hmm. Especially after all the flack she got on social media just for existing.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, so our girl. Okay, but can I tell you an idea I came up with?
Okay, sure.
Okay, because
I love hearing your ideas.
I want to know what happened between Rose mm-hmm. and Finn, right? Because, like, in nerd mind, you fill in the story
yes.
as to why it ends up
this
the way it is.
This is why fan fiction exists.
Yeah. So in my fan fiction, what I want to happen is that there's some kind of, and I think this will work well for SNL. So SNL, if you're listening, like, here's my short that I'm pitching to you.
Lorne Michael.
Yeah, Lorne,
give us
what's
a call.
Up? So you have Rose and Finn go on a first date and it's just super awkward. It doesn't go well. And then at the end of it, they're like, eh. And then that's why when you finally get to the Rise of Skywalker, they like don't interact at all.
Yeah.
But what I want to happen is that Rose is just like on this obligatory date because she like tells him that she like is in love with him. But then what I want her to say in this short is just like, look, I thought I was like dying, and it's kind of like coming out of anesthesia where you just like say things that maybe you don't mean, and so like I said that, and now this is really awkward because now we're on a date and I don't actually like you. And then he's like, oh good, I don't actually like you in that way either, but I really respect you, and you know what, I think you're amazing at reading blueprints,
let's just be friends.
And then like in the future you can read my blueprints. And then boom, you get to Rise of Skywalker. So
yeah.
I want an awkward
first date,
yeah,
between
Boba
Rose
date.
And Finn.
Yeah. Right, then that would explain why they like don't talk.
Don't, yeah, yeah. Why she's an extended cameo and has hardly anything to do the whole movie. Yeah.
Just read the
or we could maybe do our own fan movie of this, a fan sketch of this awkward first date.
See, isn't this why people want to join Pacific Underground?
I know,
you too
clearly.
Can talk about your fan fantasies
and nerd
on the
out
air, nerd out, and hopefully you are appealing to other Asian and Pacific
yep.
Islander folks. We'll see.
Because I am hoping that there is an Asian out there that is like, yes, this is my jam. I was also upset about Rose being cut out of the movie. I totally want to be in a fan
sketch. Okay, I will say this about Asians, like, right, like when you got the Asian super nerds, I'm really hoping that there's somebody who's maybe even calling in right now who's
oh.
like, look, in the canon of Star Wars and blah 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 blah, and like they're just ready to get into it with us. I'm just like, you come be on the show.
Yeah,
let's talk about it.
Come be on the show, nerd out with us.
Okay, so yeah, so yeah, message
mm-hmm.
us, come join the Pacific Underground Collective.
We'll also be recording a promo that will be airing on KABU outside of Pacific Underground time. And
yeah, so if you missed the info
mm-hmm.
now, you'll be hearing the promo mm-hmm. plan. Yeah, we got to get on that. Just
I know.
Check out the things too. Okay, other movies we've seen. Okay, we finally saw.
Finally,
Always Be My Maybe.
Finally,
even though for all I know, it came out 5 years ago because it felt like
it
so
felt,
long.
I've been poking you so much.
I'm sorry. Okay, but
movie.
We finally saw it, and it was.
It was so good.
It was so good.
I mean, I just have an inherent problem with the messaging of romantic comedies. So it was like a little cringy for me in that way. But I was happy to see like a male romantic lead that's Asian and like
yeah.
Asians getting together. It's like, ah!
Yeah, and Asians like being like complex people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love because it's like.
And like a variety of Asians
yeah.
too. Because you have like the hippie Asian chick.
Yeah.
The
hippie Asian chick. I loved her
I
so
love her so much.
Because you totally
you
know
have
that
to,
chick.
You have to let
chick.
Me cook for you. I know, yeah. And she has dreadlocks. I was like, oh god.
Oh god, I know that Asian. Like there is
we've
like,
all met that Asian.
Yeah, there's like they were all like the kind of like archetypes. At the same
mm-hmm.
time, they were just like people, and that was like really great. And I love
mm-hmm.
to see how Randall Park's character was like an HVAC technician. You
yeah,
know, it's
yeah.
like not everybody was just like a doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I know. And yeah, and I loved how I am blanking on her name. Who's
Ali
the
Wong?
Other? Thank you, Ali Wong. How could I forget Ali Wong? Ugh, she's so good. Ali Wong was like the celebrity chef. Yeah, once again, not doctors, not engineers. They had careers that were like a little different
yeah.
than what the stereotypical Asian career is.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was really sweet that they had Randall Park's character live with his father for so long. And like to take care of his father, because usually that duty falls upon the women's, the
yeah.
femmes. And yeah, and I was really happy we finally got to see it Keanu Reeves is amazing.
He's so dreamy.
I love you, Keanu.
He was so funny.
And I
like
know.
Because like you rarely see him be funny. He's always either like the romantic lead and he's always like so deep. Or he's, you know, he's John Wick.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I mean, he was in, like, I felt like he was funny early on in his career, like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah,
but he hasn't done, a whole lot of comedies. In a lot of his movies are like super serious action movie.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to see him be funny. And
but what was funny about like is that his character wasn't like it wasn't like a comedian kind of funny where he was trying to be a funny person.
Yeah, he
it
was just about like charismatic.
And like but also super intense.
I know.
You know, and he like plays himself but it's probably not the real Keanu, but you know, just like this intense version of himself. It was so good. Mm-hmm. But this has sparked conversation, so now let's get into like the deep part.
Okay.
About talking about identity.
Because you always have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, we always gotta talk about the identity because it really did bring up some questions in my mind about Keanu Reeves and like why is it that Asian America likes to claim him and be like yeah he's Asian he's one of ours but then other people who are quarter Asian they don't want to claim you know and like oh no they're just white you know or just like that and it's like why is it about blood amounts and it just gets really cringy. And, you know, it's funny because I asked my sister, I was like, why do we want to claim Keanu? But we, like, won't want to claim, like, Rob Schneider. She's like, Keanu's hot. Like,
yeah.
You know what? That's
and also, bit. I feel like this Asians claiming Keanu is kind of a recent thing. Because growing up, I never knew he was part Asian until, like, maybe a decade ago that did I find out. And plus, like, whenever I hear him, like, his Asianness isn't something I think of right away.
I think it's because he also doesn't talk about it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he doesn't talk about that all that much. So for me, it was really refreshing to see him in such an API-driven movie like Always Be My Maybe, and him like sort of embracing that identity. It's like, yay, Keanu! And yeah, you're right. I think it's like he is very handsome, and also he doesn't have a reputation of being a jerk in Hollywood.
I see how. So it's kind of like the Joey Gibson,
yeah.
Where it's like we don't want to claim him because, like, you're just embarrassing.
Yeah,
oh.
It's like,
but at the same time, we gotta
stop talking.
Yeah, he's not one of us. But at the same time, we kind of have to like claim him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was nice to see that, you know, one of the, you know, he was one of the love interests in Always Be My Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they didn't just go with people who were like just East Asian, you know, they went with people who were like multiracial as well. And I think that's so important because I think a lot of times the Asian American community, you know, they do want to like talk about percentages a lot and like say like who is more Asian than one another.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of wondered if people were going to criticize the idea of Keanu Reeves being in that because it's like when we saw, Rich people.
Crazy Rich Asians.
There was like a controversy where it's like the male lead.
Oh, Henry Golding.
Yeah. You know, as a person is a multiracial person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some Asians were like, "Well, is that an Asian movie?" I was just like, "Really? No.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Do we have to blood quantify everything or everyone?"
I mean, I understand some people's point of view that it's like, you know, that oftentimes full Asians are not seen as good enough, but like publicly.
Yeah. I mean, this, I'll admit, like part of I think social justice work is like re-examining like how you've been problematic. And like I admit growing up, like I didn't see half Asian or like mixed Asian people as Asian people. And
was that like something that you think came from like popular culture, or was that like a specific thing to your family?
I think it was a specific thing to my family and also just Chinese people in general.
Yeah, they're all about the purity.
They are
too.
All
so
we're
Japanese
all about
people.
The purity, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so cringy.
Yeah, and
they're cringy people.
And yeah, and I admit that albeit I never said it, but I had a couple of mixed Asian friends growing up, and I always like had this weird smugness as a child that I know, I'm sorry, but like, but these are like hard things that you have to admit about yourself to re-examine them. And it's like, that was not good, and I will strive to do better in the future.
I sort of wonder, like, because I didn't have that same feeling, but granted, I grew up in a much, like, larger Asian, like, community, so I, like, saw more people. And then in, especially in Japanese America, we have, we're, well, at least, like, 20, 30 years ago, we were the community that was most likely to marry outside of our race. And so it's like my Japanese American community is pretty diverse, you know, like my cousins, when I look at my cousins, like, you know, we don't all, we're not all full Japanese. And so like, I wonder if that, you know, having that experience of like my family members, you know, really taught me like, oh, you don't have to be cringy like all the other, because I remember like, you know, I was around large communities of Asians that didn't have people who were like multiracial, and they definitely shared more of your opinion, and I always thought that was like weird, and how could
weird
like,
and racist
and I was just like, how do you not see you know, but realizing like looking at their families, like their families were different, you know. And so it's like ignorance is easy when you want it to be there, and that's, well, good for you for re-examining. And so how do you think that you came to have a different view, because a lot of people grow up and they don't change their view.
I definitely, like, dating, definitely changed my opinion. As I've said before, like, I've only ever dated white guys, and then, and, like, being, like, dating white people sort of, like, of course made me confront, if we ever had children, of course they're going to be mixed, and are my mixed children going to be less than Asian? It's like, of course not.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's having to do with some, like, confrontation right there.
Yeah, yeah. And I always grew up that I would, of course I would date an Asian man, but there are so few Asian people in Portland, and I just have more accessibility to white men, so that's who I've dated. And and of course, like, yeah, made me think that if we ever get married, have kids, have a white picket existence, you know, yeah, like my children are going to be mixed, and my family's going to have to deal with it.
So did you then realize, like, oh, I've been cringy.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm a terrible human being.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had cringy thoughts around that sort, like, well, I always actually thought that multiracial Asians were better, because I grew up in that culture where I was told that if you could marry someone white and have children who were white, that they were superior. And so I kind of, I had this.
Did people say mixed children are the most beautiful
kids? Of course, of course. You know,
which is also cringy in its own.
Yeah, and you know, way. And I will say that, like, I believed that too as a child. And I was, like, jealous. And I thought that I was ugly because I wasn't as beautiful as, like, my multiracial cousins and stuff like that. And then you start to realize how gross that is as you get older, you know, because, like, when I was in my 20s, I was married to a white person, and I hadn't, you know, by the time I was in my 20s, like, I, like, had let go of that, like, thinking, but didn't really think about it that much anymore. I was just like, whatever. But then as soon as I got married, then everyone around us kept being like, you need to have babies because they'll be mixed race babies and they'll be the prettiest babies. And I was just like, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, then it really started to feel really gross. Just, I was like, oh my God, like, I don't want you. And it really made me have to, like, re-examine myself and, like, that thinking and stuff. So, yeah, Asians, especially East Asians, y'all, we need to re-examine the thinking all the time. Oh, hey, we should do a station, or not a station, a show ID. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pacific Underground here on Kibu Community Radio. Yeah, I'm Jenna Yokoyama, and I'm joined with Tabitha Teo.
Hi.
And we're just talking about life.
Yeah,
today.
Asian Femtime 4.0.
4.0, 5.0, who knows what it is? Because we could go back. We've actually done a lot of episodes.
We've done lots of Asian Femtimes.
Yeah, and we didn't always label that, but whatever. And our messaging for this episode is that we're looking for new collective members, because we're realizing that we've been doing this for 4 years.
4 years, and we're really tired. And
I'm also,
cranky.
For listeners, I'm like, y'all have to be tired of listening to our opinions. Oh my gosh, we're just, you know. It's trying to bring in some new voices that challenge our perspectives, that bring on different perspectives. Maybe,
some youngins, less Gen Zers.
Less East Asian-y.
Yeah. Oh,
because that's problematic in itself.
Yeah, yeah. Two East Asians complaining about...
life is so hard. No, it's not. We are East Asian. We know. We know. We are up there on the privilege scale.
Mm-hmm. We're just one step down from whiteness.
Oh, my God. And I'm Japanese. I might as well be.
Yeah, you're white, one half white already.
Yeah, whiteness. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Though I feel like China, in a way, is starting to creep up there on the whiteness scale. We've been there.
Especially Chinese America. Chinese America is a community that's been here for a long time, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of new money coming over from China, and there's a lot of established money here, and so especially when I go down to California and stuff, it's whoa, you know, it's definitely Asian American, but there's a lot of buying into whiteness. I mean, I think it's why see why the East Asian community is often very conservative in their politics.
Yes.
And it's no, you too are being oppressed. But they don't know because they have the capitalism.
Yeah. and also I just think about all the construction and stuff that's happening in China and how they emulate so much of European and American architecture or clothing or style and music and everything, and I feel like I want to cling on to my Chinese identity, because as I mentioned, I've been taking Chinese lessons, I want to take some Tai Chi lessons, and I want to get in touch with my traditional Chinese-ness, and then I feel like the Chinese people from China are trying to separate themselves from all that traditional stuff.
I know, every time I try to learn some more Japanese or learn more about modern Japanese culture, it's I realize, oh wow, even the little bit of Japanese I do speak is very old fashioned, because there's so much of modern Japan uses what we call borrowed words, which are a lot of English words but said with a Japanese accent. And there's a cultural backlash happening in Japan of just there's too many borrowed words, we don't speak in our own language anymore. And in a way, I want Japan obviously to move on, be a growing society all the time and do economically well, but it is, I'm always kind of wondering, oh no, those traditions, and they're kind of going away. Oh, because this reminds me of how for New Year's, so Japanese people on New Year's Day, it's ridiculous. We got, the Asians, we're all about New Year's, right? Giving money to one another. Yeah. That's when you see, it's not about Christmas. It is all about the New Year's. Yeah, I went down, I saw my family for New Year's. My dad cooks this huge meal. That's what we do. But
all don't celebrate the Lunar New Year, also known as the Right New Year.
I know, because, we bought into whiteness. Anyhow, but what were we talking about? Oh, so this big, huge meal and stuff like that. But then when I look at my family in Japan, they will go out to the stores and buy the things that we will take days making by hand. We sometimes are more old fashioned than them. Granted, they have more opportunity to buy just instant canned whatever. But it makes me makes me a little sad when I'm just oh man, these traditions of knowing how to cook these foods is going away in modern Japan, because it's more about that modern life of convenience. And I don't think it's necessarily convenience. I think it's just that people are really busy. People you now have to have the two income household in Japan compared to 30 years ago. You didn't have to. And so a lot of what the traditions are leaving. But then I guess that means that women aren't just home cooking all day. So maybe I don't know. No, because Japan's still terrible.
Japan still ranks pretty low
on women's rights.
Yeah.
Really surprisingly low. Very low.
For a quote-unquote developed nation.
Yeah, I think they fooled everybody in that, that,
China's not any better. Oh, no. Let's face it, China's not any better. We can't be all smug and being, we have such gender equality here. No, we can't.
But I will say, I loved having, that's the one Japanese holiday that I like celebrate, make sure to celebrate is like celebrate New Year's. It's like big deal. I eat the mochi, I do the thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you invited me to your family's New Year's celebration last year, which was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We eat all sorts of foods that are like symbolic. You know.
Oh, since we live together, maybe I'll throw in a Lunar New Year's party.
Oh, we should totally have Lunar New Year.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to find some red lanterns at Fubon. Hey. I'm gonna decorate the house red.
Because it's the year of the rat.
It is the year
Isn't
of the rat.
Isn't it your year?
And it is my year.
It's so auspicious.
I'm chair dancing right now.
Okay, wait. But here's the thing. When it's your year,
okay, see,
it can
I've
be good or
I've
bad.
I've heard conflicting things because my family always told me that your year was a good luck year. And then I hear from other people that, no, it's a bad luck year. It's like, what
I think
is
that's
it?
Why people use the term auspicious, because it doesn't necessarily mean that it's inherently good or inherently bad. Because, like, what one must ask, what kind of rat are you? Are you a water rat?
Once looked this up, and I think I am a fire rat. I have to double check.
I'm looking this up.
Okay.
So what year were you born?
1984.
Okay, so now everyone knows how old Tao is.
But own it. President.
Own it.
Hey, I owned it last year. It's like, I'm 35. I'm old enough to constitutionally run for president. I am...
you are a wood rat.
I am a wood rat.
So all wood rats out there born in 1984, you too can become the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Would this also be a good time to declare my presidential bid for the National Chihuahua Party? My whole cabinet is going to be Chihuahuas.
Oh, my God, no. We have enough candidates.
I didn't say what party I was going to be
Okay, so in. Here we go. Here's from the internets, which is obviously the most correct source of ever about the year
no
of the wood rat.
No citation needed.
Okay, so the wood element gives the resourceful rat the influence of sensitivity, artistic ability, and appreciation of beauty. Wow, that does describe you. Perhaps more so than other members of the rat sign, the wood rat depends on artistic expression and natural surrounding. I don't know about the natural surroundings part. You're not
I'm
so into the nature.
I'm a pretty indoors person.
Yeah. This may explain why trees and vegetation have such a profound calming effect on the wood rat. Okay, this is not fulfilling necessarily what I think of you.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy plants and flowers, but yeah, I enjoy looking at them. I don't enjoy being amongst them.
Okay, the wood rat is one of the most befriended of the rat signs because of their loving and humble nature.
Oh.
Right? You should brag about that. Yeah.
I am a humble...
I'm the most humblest...
Yeah. I'm the most humblest person I know.
While often displaying innate generosity and concern for others, the wood rat can also use their sociability to make others follow their lead. So, Tabitha, what should people do with their 2020 in terms of learning radio?
Contact me and I will, using my humbleness and my compassion and my
sociability,
I will foster you into making radio magic.
Oh, wait, this is, while the wood rat is generally unlikely to take great risks, they can accomplish great success with focused attention.
Oh, That sounds pretty accurate.
Okay, here's other wood rats.
I don't have focus attention, and I feel like that explains a lot of why I'm at where I'm at in life.
Okay, wood rats can be successful entrepreneurs, much like Mark Zuckerberg. Other words are Katy Perry.
Oh.
And Avril Lavigne.
I know I share a birthday with Hitler, but George Takei. I share birthday. He is also born on 420.
Let's go with George Takei.
Yeah. And this, resolution for 2020, even though I don't like resolutions, because why wait until the new year to do things? But anyways, I've always wanted to make a happy birthday card to Mr. Takei, and I keep forgetting to do it, but this year I am going to do it. Jenna, hold me accountable. I'm going to mail Mr. Takei a birthday card, and... ask him to please send me like an autographed picture of him for my birthday or something. I don't know.
Every once in a while,
no idea.
He'll come to Portland. He'll often like come to like support Not often. It's been a few years since he came last, but maybe like the next time he comes, like you should just give him a stack of birthday cards and just be like, Mr. Takei, here's all the 420s.
Yes.
What's up?
We share a birthday. Here's my license to prove it. And now everyone knows when my birthday is.
Oh, look at this. Okay, wait.
Wait,
I'm
Jen,
reading
I'm
more about you.
What? I'm curious about you, what your sign is.
I'm a rooster.
Ooh, do you know what element?
I think I'm like water or something like that. Mm-hmm. Your rooster zodiac. Let's see what the internet says.
Okay, this does. I really enjoyed this
metal.
Discussion.
I'm so
you're
metal.
You're so metal.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I want to make like a rooster that just has like hair metal, like from the 80s.
Yeah,
like they're from like I don't know, like Cinderella. You know? Oh my god,
this
is so good.
I really enjoy this conversation because I feel like a lot of like astrology has been overtaken by Greek, which is apparently though actually Babylonian astrology, such like Aquarius and Sagittarius and all those signs. So it's like. I that's another thing I want to learn. Learn more about Chinese astrology and Taoism, because it's like there are different ways of interpreting like your personality sign and and so I'm enjoying this discussion and learning more about Chinese astrology and the animal signs.
Okay, so I agree about like wanting to learn more about astrology because. I have never been a fan, not like I hate astrology, but I've just never really cared.
Yeah.
And I've also thought it's like really interesting that, you know, a lot of POC I know right now
are they're
super...
really into Babylonian astrology.
Yeah, and I've kind of wondered about this, like, why is it that, you know, I think it's fine if people want to do that, but it has brought to mind some questions of like, oh, why is it that we all know so much about Babylonian astrology, but our cultures have their own astrology and we aren't
There's a richness of celestial knowledge that cultures have, and like why isn't that, I guess, validated as much as Babylonian astrology?
Yeah, and so like I've had the same feeling too because of other people's interest in astrology and Babylonian astrology. I've just been like, well, what does that mean to be a rooster? And maybe it's because it's way more, like, it's by year rather than, like, by month, so people feel like it's too generic or something
like
that.
Yeah, too broad, yeah.
But I bet if you, like, really study it,
but
there's probably just as much subtlety to it.
Exactly, and when I was exploring more into a little bit of Chinese cosmology and astrology, I didn't know that it could be split up into five or four elements, and... also, like just like Babylonian astrology, your time and day also sort of like determines your personality traits. And I've always identified more with Chinese astrology than Babylonian because my birthday is April 20th, and so that is apparently on the cusp. And even though I know I could get someone to get my chart done and I could find out definitively if I'm an Aries or a Taurus, but just looking at the newspaper horoscope, like sometimes I'm a Taurus and sometimes I'm an Aries. And so I've always been confused about what my star sign is.
Yeah.
But like with Chinese astrology, like I'm a rat. It's simple.
Well, okay. So I'm looking at Metal Rooster because I'm so metal.
So I want to do fan art now of this.
Oh my god. I just want to do the face paint. Anyhow. Okay. So and I'm like, this is me. So the Metal Roosters are people who are industrious, diligent, and devoted to work. That sounds like me. I'm way addicted to work.
I would agree with that.
I'm working like 60 hours a week right now. Like I'm totally addicted to it. Okay. They love to travel because of their courageous and adventurous spirit.
You love
I do.
Backpacking.
Yeah.
You
I do
a lot of backpacking.
I do. They are deep thinkers. I don't know about that. But they can often be eccentric. I will give that. They are not at all shy. I'm prone to exaggerate and boast on all matters. Rooster people make good travel and public relation agents, dentists, surgeons, cooks, or beauticians. What? Why the beautician?
No radio, no station manager?
Apparently not, although sometimes I feel like that's public relations. Sometimes it feels
true.
A little bit like surgery. And sometimes I got to cook things up. There we go. Okay, so... on the talking about how it's this new year that's coming up, mm-hmm. whether you are counting it as 2020 or even just in a few weeks, we got the new mm-hmm. year coming up.
The Lunar New Year.
I know. I celebrate Lunar New Year.
Yeah. And I sort of like don't feel like it is the new year until it's the Lunar New Year.
Yeah.
When people are bringing out the lanterns and the fireworks and the wearing of the red and I get my money.
Well, because it it feels like, wait a minute. You're still getting money?
You're too old.
Aren't you at the age where you should be giving money?
Well, if we lived back in the old country 50 years ago, yes, I'd be married and I'd probably have 50 kids by now. But since I'm not married and I'm still single, like, my family still gives me money.
They've
given me less money over the years. Okay, they don't give me as much money as when I was a kid.
I understand elders giving you money still. Like, whatever, because you always still have people who are older than you. But mm-hmm. are you giving money to those who are younger than you?
I would, but a lot of my younger relatives live in California or far away. So they're not
coming up to you and doing the bow? And you're just like, oh, that's too bad. You're so far away.
And it's like, I'm not going to mail cash in the mail, especially not internationally. So I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
If I was ever there or if they were ever here, yes, I would give them money. but since a lot of them live not in Portland.
So convenient for you.
But maybe I'll give so convenient. Maybe I'll give them some money.
Oh, sweet. Okay, I'll tell my nephew, I'm like, look, the next time you see Tabitha, you got to bow, and she's going to hand you this red envelope, but you got to bow. You got to work for that.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. What's the Japanese word? Do the Japanese say anything when handing the red envelope?
You know, I don't know because, like, in Japan, it's still very much a tradition that you give money, but mm-hmm. At least my family, that was a tradition that went away when they came to the United States, which I'm like, really? Oh, how convenient. Like, oh, we're in America. Oh, no, we don't give the money on New Year's anymore. We just make you cook all day.
Aww.
We still do the cooking.
Still
we still do the mochi pounding.
Yeah, still do all the other
things.
So
we still do the labor.
Yeah.
But
we're not giving you the money.
And I wondered if this is about just like my first generation, like great grandfather, who was the stingiest man on the planet. And I'm like, I think you used immigration as a trick. Okay, we're coming up on our last few minutes, and so mm-hmm. we're in the 2020. Besides adding new collective members to Pacific Underground, messages, what are some of your either, say, your New Year's resolutions or your decades resolutions? Because I'm calling all of mine decades resolutions so that I have a nice long time to accomplish them.
I want to get started on my Chihuahua rescue. And that's another reason why I feel like my time with Pacific Underground is done. Because, I want to focus on myself and invading Portland with tiny dogs.
As if we don't have a lot of tiny dogs already. My God, this town has a lot of tiny dogs.
We need some more tiny dogs.
Okay, anything else? Like what's on, like, the smaller scale? Do you have, like, sort of, like, a workout goal or, like, anything? Do you have anything like that?
I do have a workout goal.
We do? Okay, what is it?
I want to lose 5 pounds.
Okay, do you have, like, a date you would like to lose that by?
No, it's just been a general goal of mine for the past couple of years to lose a couple of pounds. And
is there a plan behind how this is going to happen?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay, so we put it on the air.
I know.
And because
let's
radio make
audience.
It okay.
Okay.
Let's hold
by,
tabs accountable to this.
What's the middle of the year? June? No, July 1st.
July 1st.
I will lose 5 pounds.
Okay, so we're going to check in. Even if you're no longer in the collective, if you like live in China doing your Chihuahua rescue there, we are going to check in and be like, Tabs, how's it going? Okay, so you got lose 5 pounds. Okay, anything else? Anything that's not just like necessarily like, ooh, hard to accomplish?
I want to finish my Bloodborne cosplay.
Nerd. Okay. Yeah, everyone needs nerd goals.
Everyone needs nerd goals.
Everyone totally needs nerd goals. Yeah, okay, because one of my nerd goals is I've promised my friend that I will go down to Comic-Con in San Diego.
Yay.
Oh, my God. But so I went last year because, like, he's one of those people who sells art. He was, like, on our second episode
of
Pacific Underground.
Yeah, Albert Wend.
Yeah, Albert Wend. Check him out. newwend.com. Look at that, pushing up. He's, you know, doing the tabling thing, and so I helped him last year. I helped him sell the stuff, and I wasn't, like, prepared to go.
It just occurred to me, commission him to do Metal Rooster artwork of you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Albert, if you're listening, I will totally commission you to do this. Please. That would be really funny. Make it Super Metal Rooster. Okay, so I do have a slightly cosplay nerd goal where I'm just like, I can't go all the way down to San Diego again and like not do a little something. I'm not going to be like you.
Everyone's dressed up.
Yeah, I'm not going to do like, oh my God,
if
I'm in
a
full
stormtrooper.
If you want to
borrow my Hunter cosplay, you're welcome
to borrow
my Hunter cosplay.
Bloodborne nerd. No, I at least want to do something like maybe I'll get me some Vulcan ears. Ah. Like just something a little bit, because I'll always wear some kind of nerd t-shirt, mm-hmm. but I'm like, you got to step it up a little. This mm-hmm. is like the world's biggest Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I want to, oh, you know who I should cosplay as?
Who?
Tamlin Tamita.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I can't believe we forgot to mention this earlier.
Because the greatest thing ever is happening, Tamlin Tamita, we saw her in the Picard,
in
the latest
Picard trailer.
In a couple
of weeks,
trailer.
Picard will be premiering.
They show her for 1 second, and she's got the Vulcan ears. So there we go. I am going to be Tamlin Tamita.
As a Vulcan.
Oh my God, this is super exciting. Okay, so we obviously have very sophisticated goals for 2020.
Well, I finally accomplished a long-term goal. I dragged my sewing machine up from sale. If you need help with the cost too, happy to help.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, so you'll hold me accountable for losing some weight, hold you accountable for making a Vulcan cosplay. Yeah!
Wow, our goals in our late 30s. If we could listen to our goals when we were like, say, 20.
I know, oh my God.
And we're like, really?
That's all you want to do?
That's your goal in life?
Whatever.
But then at the same time, 20-year-old me would be like, oh my God, Tamlin Tamita's in Star Trek! So there you go.
Okay, fine. If I need a decade goal, run for president and win as the National Chihuahua Party.
That's the Chihuahuas vote for you.
This is my goal. My
and somehow
decade goal.
You win because the Electoral College is so corrupt that somehow we bypass human votes and just gone with dogs.
Just gone with dogs.
And you know, that would not surprise me. Okay. Yeah. What is one of my decade goals? One of my decade goals that like I've honestly been thinking about is that, because the 20s will basically be my 40s,
mm-hmm.
Is that I would like to possibly become a foster parent in my 40s. This is like a big thing in my mind, but I'm like,
we need foster families,
and in, you know, mm-hmm. hey, this is if not in your 40s, then when?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's never too late to help a child.
So I'm 38 now, and so that gives me 2 years to try to, like, you know, get my life together enough to like make that happen. So, okay, so we'll check in again in 2030.
Okay.
And see what the decade, if the decade.
If I haven't been eaten alive by chihuahuas.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe that's what the president of the Chihuahua.
President of the National Chihuahua Party.
Oh, gosh. It's kind of like cats where it's like you win the thing, which means you then get to send to the weird cat heaven. Oh, my God. By the way, have you seen the cat?
I have not. I want to so badly because I
don't
hear
think
that
there's
movie
any Asians
is
in it.
Bonkers. No, there aren't any Asians, but I hear that movies is bonkers, and that is my trash. Bonkers movies is my trash.
Okay, well, now we've definitely hit the, like, absolute, oh, my God, you guys are just going into nothing because we're talking about the worst movie of 2019.
What are y'all talking about?
So we need to wrap this up. Okay, so quick appeal. You guys, join Pacifica Underground. Mm-hmm. Learn the radio. So PAC
email.
Underground on Facebook, Instagram, email pacificunderground@kbo.fm. Leave us a message wherever, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Tammy Habitat.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Public Affairs at KBO.
Okay, we got way too many things.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
We got way too many things. Whatever, because we got to go because we're way, way over time. Okay, thanks for tuning in.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Thank you, Jenna and Tabitha. Pacific Underground, back in action with Asian Femme Time, Volume 4. It's coming up on 11:58 a.m., which means it's almost time for... Yeah, exactly. It's almost time to move on to moving on, inaugurating 4 hours of great music for your Friday afternoon. This week, with your host, the one and only, the inimitable, just all-around great guy, Don Jacobson. That's all coming up right after these important announcements, so stay tuned.
Another politician sitting far away. This is the battleground.
Hi, I'm Jeff Rosenberg. Tune in to the Song Circle every Friday afternoon at 1:30 p.m.
Turn their backs on the grisly scenes, traced to the privileged sons.
And your death will come soon.
You never know what you'll hear next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland's Folk Festival on Friday, January 10th and Saturday, January 11th, 6 to midnight at the Crystal Ballroom in Portland. Portland's Folk Festival is an all-ages celebration of folk and Americana music in Portland. Friday performers include Anna Tivolt, Cedar Teeth, Glitter Fox, and more. Saturday performers include Horse Feathers, The Get Ahead, and more. Again, that's Portland's Folk Festival, Friday, January 10th, and Saturday, January 11th, from 6 to midnight at the Crystal Ballroom, 1332 West Burnside Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
When we meet, there won't be winter.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Hood River and the Gorge at 91.9 FM, Philomath and Corvallis at 104.3 FM, and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
I hate a song that makes you think that you're not any good. I hate a song that makes you think you're just born to lose, bound to lose, no good to nobody, no good for nothing. Because you're either too old or too young or too fat or too thin or too ugly or too this or too that. Songs that run you down or songs that poke fun at you on account of your bad luck or your hard traveling. I am out to fight those kind of songs to my very last breath of air and my last drop of blood. I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down, for a